me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
The bigger dicker, the pancake flipper, the boom stickity boom stickity boom stickity sticker, the boogie flipper, the windshield wiper for your ear master, the Cap'n Crunch that will steer you from disaster. Yo, you got too many cracks on your wall, you need plaster. Get with the program, son, you drinking 30-year-old root beer Shasta. You think I'm lying? Man, stop trying. Pay attention and you could go far. When you're tuned in to the N, the P, and the motherfucking R, 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 R. Yo, what's poppin', man? It's your boy, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Nestorious. You know, you're listening to us live Thursday night. It is Thursday night on shitty, gritty downtown Skid Row Studios. If you are listening to us live and you want to give a shout-out, give us a call, 800-893-9562. Yeah, you know, we do the electric boogaloo type shit, you know what I'm saying? So I had to do that little fucking bigger dicker pancake flipper, you know, it's been a long time since I've done that shit, you know what I mean? Anyway, I got a special, all my guests are special, but tonight is, one of my homeboys, Boricua, that I ran into. Actually, we met, like, I don't know, like 6-7 years ago. When did we meet? Like 6-7 years ago?
It's way back.
Way back?
Yeah.
Like 8 years ago? Yeah. Like when there was only 3 lanes on the 405?
Like when we just started the show, bro.
When you started which show?
Operacion Repo.
Oh, really? That's when you just started that shit?
We had just started the show.
Lou Pizarro.
What's up, everybody?
Lou Pizarro. Hold on, let me give you a big up. Big up, you motherfucker, yeah.
Yeah,
big up. Lou Pizarro. Hi, we got Tanya
Estrada.
Tanya Estrada in the house.
Yes.
One of your co-hosts on Repo Radio.
That's right.
All right. So, yes, fucking Operacion Repo.
Yep.
So you had just started that then?
Yeah, did you do an English version or Spanish version?
I don't remember, man. Yeah. I did an English version.
It was English? Yeah. Okay, so, all right. So we had just started the
English. Wait a minute. No, we did a Spanish one.
Yeah,
it was Spanish.
Yeah, that was the original Operacion Repo.
Operacion Repo, yeah.
Yep.
Because you had put an ad out on, like, breakdown services and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, you basically cast all sorts of wackadoos to come on, and you just, like, there was no scripts that were just like
improv. Then Nestor showed up.
Yeah. You were like, yo, listen, yo, oh, you're Boricua, you're from the Bronx. All right, well, let's do this shit. Let's do, like, you know, I'm gonna repossess your car, and then you know, we you find out that we're from the Bronx, and then you know, we'll just, like, release your car and shit or some shit like that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It was so wacky. Shit like that, because you're from the Bronx originally.
That's right, from the Bronx.
All right,
born at the old Lincoln Hospital.
And how long have you been out in LA?
I was here all my life, man. I was born out there, lived out there off and on as a kid. Then I came back to California, and then I moved to Puerto Rico. So I lived out there for a minute.
So hold on. So you were born in the Bronx?
In the Bronx.
I'm not going to ask you what year because that's not important. The statistics, but so how long were you in the Bronx?
I was there probably 7 years. First
okay.
time?
So you were a little baby, right?
I was a little baby.
Uh-huh. And then you came out to California?
California, yeah.
L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So around 7. So you went through the elementary school system in L.A.?
Yeah, exactly.
We did a story a couple weeks ago here about this teacher that got caught in El Monte feeding semen to his kids. Did you encounter any of that crazy shit?
No, man. You know why? They were crazy, man.
I swear to God.
I know. I seen it. It's up. Yeah. Red Tiny's been all over the news.
I swear to God.
They need to hang that
This
pool.
Motherfucker, he was feeding... He was sexually molesting kids, all right, elementary school kids, and he was being reported and, like, from pulling his pants down on, like, field trips.
Uh-huh.
And eventually he got caught because he took photos and he tried to develop them at CVS. Well, he was actually spoon-feeding kids, blindfolded, his fucking semen,
wow.
Right? And the interesting thing about the story is that... LA Unified School District initially didn't paid off some of the families, I don't know how many fucking millions of dollars or some shit. And then they finally settled out of court for $300 and something million.
Right.
I only say that because if your kids are products of LA Unified School District and they grow up to be retarded, then chances are it's because of this motherfucker, because all the money that would have gone to your education went to pay off the families that he spoon-fed cum, okay? I'm just saying that.
when I was in elementary, it was a little different.
Okay, so you didn't experience this.
I didn't experience any of that, man. It was a little bit, they were scared of my sister.
So you and your sister were in the same class?
Well, no, my sister, she was older than I was.
She was older, Sonia.
Yeah, but, you know, they were scared of her, so they know not to pull any stupid stuff like that, or that they answer to her. That's right.
Yeah. I haven't seen your sister in forever.
Yeah, she's doing good, man. She's doing all right. She's remarried, and she's living the party life at 52.
Good. You have to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so for a lot of people that out in Skid Row land, I mean, I have people who listen from different parts of Europe and stuff like that. They probably never seen your show. Operation Repo.
Yeah.
So Operacion Repo was a Spanish version of a car repossession company, right?
That's right.
Did you do that for a living?
That's what I did. I was a repossessor by trade, man.
Okay.
So I did that in the beginning and started Operacion Repo.
And then this was obviously a concept that you came up with, and then you sold it to one of the
Telemundo.
The spick channels out here now.
Yeah. That's funny, man. They're the one that gave me my break.
No,
they took
shit.
A chance. They
no
took
shit.
A risk on
no
me.
No shit.
And opened some big doors for us.
Telemundo? No, I'm fucking around. Yeah. Telemundo Telemundo is huge.
Yep. So,
the network that you were on was in Telemundo, was it?
It was
a subsidiary.
It was Channel 22. Yeah, it was a sister station of Telemundo, which is owned by NBC. That's right.
The Bingo Network is at the back of the buses. You see the bingo balls.
And then
they'd have your fucking.
You had the little flower right there on the side.
Yeah,
it was. And that's where it started, man. It started there, and then it went huge. And in fact, just if you have listeners in Europe, they have to know the show. We've been syndicated 2.5 years all through Europe.
Operacion Repo?
Yeah, in English, through the UK, Australia, Canada.
Awesome.
And we just started South America and Central America.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's awesome. So then how many years were you into Operacion Repo when you actually rolled over to Operation Repo? Because that was on True TV, yeah?
Yeah. The way it worked out is that we were, say, 2008. So we started in 2006, 2 years into the Spanish. True TV was Court TV at the time.
Yes.
And they wanted us to be the transitional show from Court TV to the new network, True TV. So that's where we made history with them. And, you know, we launched and it was a big hit. And then True TV, they based all their shows on Operation Repo, that format.
The format.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
So that's where we started.
No, that's a big deal, dude. Yeah. I mean, that's like, you know, you coming from fucking doing something like a regular living type job and translating it to, you know, a reality show. And you know, ever since then, there's been a lot of shows. I mean, there was, what was it, Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah, there's a lot of
those types of shows where
South
people,
Beach Toll.
Yeah.
There's Lizard Lick, you know, and all these guys have consulted in a lot of these.
You have?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, again, it's been, now they have Airplane Repo and everything was just.
Airplane Repo?
They took what we were doing on Operation Repo.
Did you snuggle a lot of cocaine in the 80s? Did you buy 50 fleet of airplanes?
Yeah,
did you not pay your insurance?
That was, what was that, Cocaine Cowboys? I seen that.
Yeah.
That was good. Good documentary.
Yes. So, there's a few documentaries about the 80s with smuggling cocaine and having fucking.
Well, this girl will know all about it, right, Tanya?
Private hangers. Why did you smuggle?
No, I'm Colombian.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, shit, I didn't know you were Colombian. All right.
Yes, I'm Colombian.
All right, nice. Nice. Yeah. I was married to a Colombian once.
Oh, did see?
Like a year.
Why'd you do that for?
You see, he said once.
Once.
He learned.
Once. No. I love Colombians. Colombians, I mean, I love all Latin.
So do I.
Latin cultures. No, Colombians are always nice, you know.
Well, what happened?
Until they slit your throat.
Well, what happened? No. What happened was it was an arrangement. It was an arranged marriage. She was actually dating, she was seeing my mom's, my mom's husband's brother at the time, and they needed somebody to... I needed to get married, you know, to help facilitate her newfound life in America.
Okay, so wait a minute, but he didn't work at LAUSD,
no,
right?
No, no, no.
Just
no,
checking.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
She, you know, she had seen West Side Story, and she said, you know, she wanted to live in America. So
okay, not wrong with that.
No, but Colombians, well, Colombians, you were born here, Tanya?
I was born here.
Okay, so Colombians in New York are a different story. We got Jackson Heights in Queens, which is fucking all Colombians, where all of the cocaine comes through. Mm-hmm. You know, once it gets in America, however the hell it gets there, it'll wind up there in Jackson Heights.
That's kind of a stretch, though, from South America all the way that way. Why didn't you just put it through Mexico? Well, oh, yeah, they do.
Well, it could be through Mexico. Yeah. It could be.
It comes both ways.
Well, in the 80s, it was through Miami.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, it finds its way. I mean, one of those documentaries, I don't think maybe it was Cocaine Cowboys, the one that Blow was based on. Was that Cocaine Cowboys? So there were two dudes that were going to Colombia, and, you know, one of them was an Air Force pilot. And he had, you know, a private plane, and he would come, and he'd land his plane in his own, like, hangar, and then they had an operation. If you see the movie Blow, it's kind of based on this guy's real-life story. And then, I mean, they made, I think the movie Blow starts by saying, if you sniffed cocaine in the 80s, chances are you bought it from me. That's how it starts. Yeah. But he was a white dude. He wasn't Colombian.
Well, so, you know, Hollywood casting.
No. The actual guy was a white dude. Yeah.
He was?
Yeah. Well, his connections weren't obviously white, but he was a white dude. He had the pilot's license, and he was the guy that was doing his thing. Anyway, so the Operation Repo. So how did you get from being a young Puerto Rican kid from the Bronx coming to L.A. and going through the L.A. Unified School District without sipping on cum, you know, graduating high school and shit, to becoming a real repo. Let's say my life's like, I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to do what I'm doing anymore, right? And I want to be a repossession. How would I go about that?
I would tell you to stay out of it, man, especially at your age, because it's a young man's game.
It's a young man's game.
Yeah,
why?
And because it's 24/7, man.
Yeah.
You got to work 24/7. You don't have time for family, time for kids.
Really?
Time for no parties.
Because they call you whenever, and you got to show up.
And guess what? If you don't answer, they call the next guy. And then they just keep on calling the next guy.
But how did you get into that? I'm just curious.
Being Latino, man, I was a natural born car thief.
Got it.
So, I didn't want to go to jail stealing cars, right? So
Did you really? No, you're.
Bro, I stole my first car when I was 11 with
did
my
you
sister.
Really?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah, here.
And then you, and
yeah.
then how?
In the projects, man, it was a 66 Chevy Caprice. I'll never forget it.
That's a nice car.
We jumped on a bicycle. I was on the handlebars. We went to the next project.
I jumped on a bicycle, you know, and I stole the car, and I got inside the car.
Joke.
We went to Jack in the Box. You know, we had a couple of burgers, and then we got caught over there.
Did I tell you the story already?
Not yet.
Because you said it right. Yeah, it was pretty much that.
That was the end of my car stealing career, okay?
So that's what happened. No, you know, I got into repossessing it. I was in Florida. Okay. And then I did it out there for a year. I was in the Marine Corps at the time. I also was working for Continental, so I was a busy cat.
You sound like a guy from Chicago now. Now I went to Continental.
Yeah.
Like a fucking Chicago one.
Hey, I sound like a Mexican right now.
Now you hit me up with a Chicago accent. Love it. So you got into it in Florida. Where? Miami? Not Miami.
Orlando, of course.
Spickville Jr.
So for
those of y'all that don't know about Orlando, right? For those of y'all that don't know about Orlando, so all of the Puerto Ricans that got kicked out of the Bronx because they couldn't pay for their fucking mortgage or they got kicked out of the projects, they moved to Orlando, Florida.
That's right.
So now Orlando, Florida is like little Puerto Rico.
That's exactly right, man.
Yeah.
So, and then the ones that couldn't make it in Miami, they had to go to Orlando too.
The Cubanos or the Boricuas?
The Puerto Ricans.
The Puerto Ricans.
I lived in Miami for a minute.
You did?
I lived in the best place out there, man.
Where?
Hialeah.
Oh, Hialeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I got married in Miami. Yeah.
I see my first murder in Hialeah.
Yeah. Well, Hialeah is fucked up.
Yeah.
It's
bad.
Florida's. When was this, 80s?
Yeah, this was in the 80s. No, it was late 70s.
Late 70s,
yeah.
Beginning of the 80s.
Beginning
That's when 80s. It becomes crazy.
Yeah.
82, Fidel lets the Marialitos go out. Fucking insanity motherfuckers, criminally insane fucks coming to Miami. They wind up all the way up to New York. I don't think they wind up in L.A. because we already had insane motherfuckers here.
Yeah,
you don't need any extra fucks being imported.
Right.
Right? But, you know the deal. The Marialitos came through. And the Mariel boat What the fuck was the? It was a bay in Cuba. Mariel Bay,
uh-huh.
And they called them Los Marielitos. It's like Fidel just released all of the prisoners from insane,
everybody, all the bad guys from the prison. There were some good guys that came over. I know a bunch of them, man.
Some good guys?
Yeah, it was some
I'm sure.
Some good guys.
I'm sure.
I think it was like three.
Yeah, three of them. Yeah,
three of them. I know all three of them.
Got it.
Yeah, last name's Fernandez.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So, so you were born in the Bronx too, right?
I was born in Manhattan.
In Manhattan?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, qué fancy, mira.
Yeah. I was born in Manhattan, but I grew up in the projects.
Uh huh.
My family had moved to the 70s,
uh-huh.
Which is fancy. The 70s is fancy. But they had low income housing. So, Section 8. So, you could, if you were. A minority, you could apply for, rent stabilization, rent control apartments.
And, right.
By law, certain buildings had to offer at least one or two apartments mm-hmm. for that. So my grandmother and my mom, they had apartments in some tenements in the 70s. But mm-hmm. So I was born in a New York hospital in 60-something. Mm-hmm. But I still have an apartment on 100 Street in El Barrio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cheap, man. My cousin, he's in Florida. He still has his apartment. I think it pays like $300.
My apartment was not $300. It was about $610 for about 10 years. I mean, yeah. I've had the apartment for 20.
Nice.
Yeah. So right now it's up to a G. But shit, a three-bedroom apartment in New York for a G?
Yeah.
Nice.
Three bedrooms? That's unheard of.
Yeah. They're not huge bedrooms. They're not fucking huge. But, back then, people didn't have a lot of shit in their fucking bedroom. You had a bed, three drawers, some shirts that you hung up. Now people got 50 million fucking things that you need like a mini mansion, right?
Yeah.
If you're a woman, you need a mini mansion. If you're a guy, you got fucking 50 pairs of shoes, Anyway, back then it was pretty simple. So what else? So you were in the Marines.
Yeah. So
Paris Island.
No, actually, I was a Hollywood Marine. I was out here at Camp Pendleton.
Camp Pendleton, okay.
Yep.
That's so, north.
Right here, San Diego.
Oh, San Diego. What's that military base up past San Francisco, up that way?
The only base I know out there was a prison, Alcatraz, but...
What? No, it's not Alcatraz. there's another base. It doesn't matter. What the fuck is it? Come on.
Yuba City?
No, okay. It's further north.
So I was out here at Camp Pendleton.
So that's where you were already out here. Got it.
And, but again, the whole repo thing, man, it was something that I was good at. It was exciting and it was exhilarating. Mm-hmm. And, I was going to go LAPD. When I got out of the Corps, I started going through LAPD, uh-huh. but I was making more money as a repossessor
mm-hmm.
first year than I would, the first 5 years being a cop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the road that I took, man, and it actually worked out for me.
So, okay. All right. And so how did you get to, back then? I mean, I guess, what year was that? What year was Operacion Repo?
We aired our first episode October 2006.
Okay. So the reality TV arena had already been in play for a few years. Maybe 2 or 3 years, yeah? Maybe two?
You know what?
Big Brother was one of the shows that had come out on Network TV.
Yeah, that's right, Big Brother.
And that, it must have been about 2 or 3 years, something like that.
I think if not the first, but one of the first in Spanish.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's Secretos also. I was on that show.
Secretos. Yeah.
Secretos. You know the show?
Yes.
Yeah. I was on the show. Yeah. My wife busts through the door. She catches me kissing a fucking young chick. And she's like, puñeta! Pero qué carajo lo que te estoy diciendo, coño? And she starts, she's Dominican too. She just gets all in my face. And I'm like.
Bro, how many times you been married?
Well, this is a.
This is your real wife.
No. This is a
reenactment.
I want to see it. You gotta post it.
Yeah, I'll show it to you. Okay. It's actually on my Facebook page. Hilarious. I swear to God. It is fucking hilarious. I cut it down to the setup and the meat and the punch. I just said it's fucking hilarious.
It's all Spanish cheaters.
It's Spanish awesome. Cheaters, exactly. Yeah. Spanish cheaters. So yeah, no, so all those things are for the most part, they're not scripted. You know what I mean? So you go in there and they give you a situation. And then
you're
like, this is what's happening, and you improvise. Yeah. And when it's good, it's good.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And when you're given a good situation, it's really good. The woman who played my wife, she nailed that shit. I nominated her for a Dominican Oscar.
Wow.
You know what I mean? The Golden Plátano.
The Golden Plátano.
I
sounds good right now.
I
fucking plátano maduro de oro. I fucking, yeah. I fucking nominated her for that shit. She was amazing. All right. So okay. So my thing about Operación Repo is, how did you sell that show? Like, so how do you go from actually being a repo guy in real life to, you know, getting somebody to hear you in, you know, at Telemundo?
Well, the way it started, I got a call from this lady named Maria Garcia. She was a news anchor at Telemundo.
You got a call from her?
Yeah, I got a call from her. She wanted to do a day in the life of a repo man.
Ah.
So I'm like, all right, no problem. I said, my Spanish isn't that good, but she didn't care. So we went out for 2 days. Then when she aired the segment, everywhere I went within the Latino community, everybody's like, hey, tú eres a repo guy. Yeah, you know, so it was good. So that year I did 5 other segments. So I was their go-to guy about cars, repoing cars, stealing cars. For Telemundo.
Mm-hmm.
So there was different producers that were calling me. So I'm like, man, I've been filming repos for insurance, and people was lying, you know, trying to get me in trouble with the cops. So I had a little hidden camera. So I was recording all this stuff. And then I got a couple cats that were going to the same church that I was going to that were in film school.
Church.
That's right. Okay. Iglesia, homeboy. I'm going to have to take you one of these days.
Iglesia.
So
you could take me. I'm Catholic. I'm 100%.
Oh, you have a blast.
Continue.
So anyways, we did this pilot. I showed it to Maria, you know, a little scissor roll. She goes, wow, I've never seen anything like this. You need to show it to the program director. So I showed it to the program director, which within two weeks of her seeing it, she bought this show. And it was a hit, bro. Operación Repo in Spanish was killing Univision.
I know.
And on the ratings at that time slot, and nobody beats Univision.
I know, dude. Yeah, Trust me. I know.
So it was awesome, man.
I didn't know at the time when we met, we just hit it off. Yeah. And then I'll segue into stand up because around that time, I hadn't seen you in a while. And then I saw you at this diner in Burbank.
Uh-huh.
And you were like, yo, bro, I'm doing stand-up and shit. And I was like, wow, all right. And so you got into stand-up from there.
I was forced into stand-up.
How did that happen?
I got a good friend of mine. You know him, too. Is comedian Gilbert Esquivel.
Yes, I do. I know Gilbert.
He does East Side Comedy and old school dance shows. So
yes.
We're at one of the shows, right? Big sponsors. JB Roofing was one of their sponsors. It was great. So he's like, hey, bro, go up there and do stand-up. I go, I don't know any jokes. He goes, people just don't care. They don't care if you're funny or not. They want to see a celebrity up there. I'm like, well, shit, I'm not a celebrity. They definitely don't want to see me up there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, go up there. So I went up there, and I was talking about a physical that I had.
Colonoscopy type thing?
Yeah, you know, when they grab your nuts and they shake them for you,
mm-hmm.
and they make you cough and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was telling them how... Yeah, I was getting this physical.
They make you cough.
And I was
scared.
See,
New York's go, they make you cough.
Yeah, they make you cough,
They
right?
make you cough.
So that's the Mexican in me. So, and my biggest thing in my mind at the time was when I was getting a physical, is this going to hurt or am I going to like it? Right?
Right. So, and what was the verdict?
Well, the verdict was that's what I said on stage. So when I got off stage, that was the first and last time I told that joke. I'll tell you why. Because all the girls were coming up to me and they were grabbing my nuts.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, and I never said that joke again. So that's how I started.
Oh, because your girlfriend was like, "Yo, dude, the nut joke's got to stop."
Yeah, it was the first and last time I said it, man. But it was interesting.
Okay, all right.
So that's how I started stand up, and then from there, you know, I've done, you know, guest appearances with a lot of different comics. You know, hey, come hang out with us, man. Hey, you want to do a set?
So how do you know Gilbert? You and him kind of grew up together. You went to high school?
I met Gilbert through his brother, Rudy Esquivel, who's my best friend.
Okay.
So that's how I met him.
Got it. Well, you know, it seems to me like you have one of these stories, and I'll go into, you have one of these stories where like one thing leads to something else and something else and something else.
The doors open up, yeah.
Then doors open up.
Yeah.
How do you account for that? Like, what's your reasoning for it? You mentioned church. Do you believe it's, you know, divine, you know, God's will, if you will?
Yeah, I can tell you I believe that. I believe that there's a plan for me.
Yeah.
And I've been in so many different situations where I shouldn't be here.
Yes, me
and,
too.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. And it's my belief that's how I was raised. And I believe if you're a good person, you know, if your heart is good, good things are going to happen to you. You help other people, people are going to help you.
Yes, and you're that type of guy.
Right.
I know you're the type of guy. You have a big heart. I know that. So that's cool. But I mean, the reason I asked you that is because, and I'm going to jump all over the place, because I remember I haven't seen you in a long time. And then I read, obviously,
everything on the internet or whatever, just to get stories, ideas, or whatever. But I saw the I saw that situation where, you know, like you were on TMZ. And let me see if I can read it. It says, famous Operation Repo Star nabs car chase suspect. You're welcome, cops. So basically, that's what it says. So, you know what? Let me play this little clip because that shit is hilarious, dude. Hold on a second.
That was crazy.
Let me play this and then I'm going to talk to you about that. Let me see if this happens. Si se puede.
Si se puede.
Si se puede. Vamos a ver.
Introducing Fast Foods First, all natural burger.
Hold on. We're going to wait.
You're really going to skip through that commercial?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Next time, huh?
Yeah. Next time. It's actually a fucking Burger King commercial. And I'll tell you a Burger King story. I used to work at Burger King when I was in high school.
Oh, my God. Tell me what's in that chicken sandwich.
Okay,
that's
here we
nasty.
Go. Here we go.
Another car. The suspect then gets out with a skateboard and tries to make a run for it. It all started when police tried to pull over the driver of a stolen BMW. The car crashed into traffic, as you can see. The suspect then led officers on a foot chase running from the scene of the accident with his skateboard. The driver of a red pickup truck tried to stop the man, actually cutting him off near a building.
The driver of the big pickup truck.
I seen exactly what happened. I seen the guy running with a skateboard in his hand, and he's running from the cops. They're, like, right on him. There's, I don't know, about six or seven cops. And, you know, he got on the skateboard, and he started moving, and it was just instinct just to, you know, block the guy off and, you know, slow him down a little bit. That's all I could do.
Yeah, he did get on that skateboard for a little while. Police took the suspect into custody. He did not appear to be injured. No officers were hurt in this chase.
Fucking Lou Pizarro.
So, yeah, that was a crazy story, man. Luckily, I was at the right place at the wrong time because it could have been reversed, you know?
Hey, well, this is what I'm saying. There's been an outbreak of carjackings. Yeah. Not carjackings.
High-speed pursuits.
Yeah, yeah, just in the past fucking, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The past week.
Every time one comes up, people are texting me, sending me on Facebook, where are you at? There's a high-speed pursuit.
No. But in the past couple of weeks, yeah. I mean, I'll be having eggs in a diner. Boom. Some guy's like chasing.
Yeah.
And these guys, what a lot of people may not realize out here in LA is that the freeways are like 5 or 6 lanes.
Yeah.
And so a car, you know, you get carjacked. These guys get on the freeway and they, you know, they go crazy and they bang into one car, bang into another car. And a lot of times you ain't going to, eventually you're going to come to a halt because traffic is intense, which is what happened to this cat. He leaves his car there and he gets out of the car. He has a skateboard. Very, very, very Latino. Very resourceful. Was he Latino?
Yeah, very resourceful.
He was a punkster Latino. He had a skateboard, just in case. So he gets out, he runs, he gets on a skateboard, and then you see you kind of like driving alongside him as he's riding his skateboard, kind of like pushing him without getting close to him, kind of like forcing him.
I was blocking him.
You were blocking him from moving his skateboard.
Yeah.
And then eventually he gets by and you cut him off and the cops come and they get him.
But one of the things, when he actually ran toward, when he was running with his skateboard, he was trying to run in front of the truck and I gave him some gas, you know, that way he couldn't pass me up just to slow him down.
Right.
My windows rolled down. He looks at me and he screams at me. He's like, muévete, pendejo. It was hilarious. Hilarious.
Muévete, pendejo, you motherfucker,
So I'm watching him, right? He has to run behind the truck now. So that's when I'm kind of like timing him. I'm watching him. And that's when I pinned him to the gate. I blocked him.
You got a big truck, too.
Yeah, it's a huge truck,
so,
man.
So that's kind of ballsy, though, seriously, because My man could have had some weapons, right?
Right.
He could have had a cañón in his ass, right?
Well,
he
could have
whipped it
with
machete or something, right?
But you know what? You don't think about it.
I know
it.
You
And
don't.
Here was the thing.
Right.
When I seen this thing, let me go back a little bit. I was there in that truck because the truck needed to get a smog. I was running around town. I was at JB Wholesale. I had to pick up my girl from the flyaway. That's why I was down there.
This is on Van Nuys,
yeah,
right?
Van Nuys, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the only reason I was there. So I'm at the light. I see a helicopter.
Of course. And it's 50 million helicopters
and
in
it's
LA.
Like, okay, wow. You know, it's like, but it was low to the ground. I go, this guy's going to crash.
Wow.
So I really thought, Tanya, that this cat was going to crash. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Then I see the cop cars chasing a car, and I'm watching him. I'm still at the light. I see this pendejo coming through traffic.
Repo instinct kicks in.
Still, I wasn't going to do nothing. He crashes
still,
into a car.
But still, you're thinking.
Yeah, I go, he crashed into a car. I go, oh, they got
the
him
BMW.
Now.
BMW.
Then when he opens the door and he starts running, that's when I said, oh, no, not on my watch. This fool just hit some lady and he's going to run from the scene of a crime. How many people kill somebody and they leave? They go to Mexico, whatever.
No, good
we don't
for you,
know.
Bro.
So that's
seriously
what I was thinking. Yep. And that's why I stopped him.
Yep.
Then, you know, once the cops did the investigation, I never got out of the truck.
Right.
I stayed in the truck.
Smart.
I didn't want this cat to see who I was.
Right.
I didn't want anybody to know who I was.
Right.
And then Tanya's calling me. The phone's going off the hook, right? I'm like, okay, you know, like, what's going on? So then they let me go. So I'm pulling down the street. Cool. Nobody knows who I am.
The cops let you go
because
they want to know who you were. Like, if you were involved with him or whatever.
Yeah, no, they knew who I was when they first see me.
Okay.
They go, the repo guy? They go, who? So they're smoking and joking, and they're all laughing. The repo guy caught this guy, you
right.
know?
Not you, you dumb fucking LAPD, mama huevo.
So I leave, right? I'm taking off. I'm like, cool. All of a sudden, the girl from Channel 7 News, man, she got some cojones, bro.
She runs across.
She jumps in front of the truck with the camera guy, bro, and I had to lock up the brakes, and I almost hit him.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
like, and then they're
she's smart.
Yeah, they're holding me in the window. She goes, can we interview you? And I'm like, I'm not a cop. The cops are in the back. She goes, oh, no, you're the good Samaritan. I'm thinking to myself, the good what?
Yeah, that's what they got you.
She goes,
they got Lupazero, Operation Repo Man, Good Samaritan. That's what they got you.
So she starts, you know, can you give me the name? And I'm like, man, I didn't want to give him my name, right? And
could
I'm like,
give
yeah, we had the camera.
Your name? Is that what
yeah.
they wanted?
Yeah, I go, wow. I'm Lou Pizarro. And I just told him real quick what happened. I was gone.
Yeah.
She's blowing up my phone. She goes, dude, you're on TV right
now.
Oh,
so he was on TV.
It was the helicopter was recording the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because the one thing about helicopters here is that you're on the street. You're on the ground. You really don't have a concept of what they can see.
And how far they
can
are
see every fuck, but they can see everything. They can see miles out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't realize this shit. So these criminals, man, like if you get one of those helicopters, like you said, flying low, you know, about the height, like five stories high, you know, you'll pursue the guy. Like, did you ever see the YouTube footage on the North Hollywood heist, the shootout?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that amazing,
yeah,
dude?
That's insane.
That's insane. So it's just like a step by step, and the suspect is getting out right now, and he's shooting at the locksmith across the street, and it's just like a point by point of what's going on.
My thing was I didn't know that the helicopter was filming, so she told me she goes, "You're all over the news," and that's how the lady knew to jump in front of my truck.
Right, you know they were following you and shit.
Yeah,
the camera was following you from above.
So then it went crazy, man.
Yeah.
Just everyone, all the news, all over the world, man. London, everybody was calling me about it.
Next morning, it broke on Good Morning America.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Good Morning America. Wow.
That was crazy, man.
That's because fucking Good Morning America don't got shit, nothing else to report.
And it's still
going,
man.
So they
got to
get like L.A. carjacking stuff.
Yeah, it's still going, bro. They're still calling
me.
That's
good for you. That's good for you.
Yeah, until this guy gets out of jail and I got to deal with his ass.
So what was his deal? Who is he?
Yeah, he was some knucklehead that was still in the car. He stole a BMW. You know, the cops, you know, I don't care. You're going to steal a car? That's your business. That's what I do for a living. I don't care. It was when you hit this lady and then you try to leave the scene of the crime.
Right,
and then, that's what you get.
Right, right.
You know,
I get it.
It could have been my mom, my sister, yours.
No, exactly, dude. Exactly. And you know what? I think that was honorable what you did. And I appreciate it for everybody else that could be in a situation like that and doesn't have someone like you that's going
to
do that.
Thank you, man. I'm just glad he wasn't related to me. That's all.
I'm serious. All jokes aside, I mean, you know, when you say, you know, you weren't thinking, that just kicks in.
Right.
I get it. You know what I mean? But even then, you know, it's kind of crazy, but you're not thinking about it.
Yeah, you know what was crazy is that when she called me on the phone and she was telling me, like, everything that happened was like a movie when she was talking, like, this, the news. I'm like, all this is going on? It was, like, crazy, man.
Right. Right.
So props to Tanya for that.
So where is I mean I noticed that you just what's the deal with Monday night at the Laugh Factory? So you got a new show. Are you doing the Latino show now?
Yeah, I'm doing
producing
Monday.
The Latino show?
Yep, I'm starting.
Who was doing it before you?
I think it was Cisco.
Okay. Because I've been out of the loop. I know Benny was doing it.
Yeah, Benny Mano, Joey Medina.
Then Cisco. So Cisco had been doing it up until this time?
I think so.
No. It was this other dude.
Rene Garcia?
No.
Robert Zapata?
No, Santana.
Sebastian Satina.
Sebastian, okay.
Sebastian was doing it.
So we're doing a little something different now. We're calling it the the La Factoria. Uh-huh. So, you know, we're going with the Spanglish thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's what I'm known for, Spanglish.
Yes.
You know, with the show. So,
because you don't speak, you're not fluent in Spanish.
Right. Yeah, I got to, yeah, I mix it up.
Tú eres listener. What I want to tell you is que las cosas no están tan good.
I didn't do it.
Porque IHOP tiene free pancakes
pero
esta noche.
Gustó, I liked it today.
Yeah,
you know?
I get it. That's a New Yorkian shit.
Yeah. Yes. So we're doing you know, radio shows. We're doing the you know, Channel 5, Channel 2, Channel 7. You know, we're doing a big promotion
for this.
For this.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for you, dude.
So yeah. And I'll be doing the Laugh Factor in Vegas as well. I'll be up there hosting.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not going to be a stand-up comedy, you know, comedian per se.
So you're not, so your thing is not like you're not pursuing a stand-up comedy career. You've been producing a lot of comedy shows.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'm producing. Nice. Just you know, an entertainer is
nice.
What I am.
I get it. Well, you got your hands in a lot of stuff. I mean, I was looking. Like I said, I haven't seen you in a while. You like Fugitivos de la Ley. That's another one of your shows.
Yeah, that's another show that I do. It's done 51-hour episodes. It's the number one requested show on Mundos, which is now they just rebranded to NBC Universo.
Okay, because so, NBC Universal owns that.
So
Mundos,
and now they're sinking more money into the new rebrand to the new network. So
that's fugitives of the law in Spanish. Fugitivos de la ley.
Fugitivos de la ley.
Entonces eso va a pasar con otro programa que lo vas a poner en inglés.
Yeah, exactly. We've already done the pilot. Bro.
I'm gonna ask you questions in Spanish and you just answer in English.
Okay,
so we'll do Spanglish. Okay, pues.
Sí. Claro que sí. So what I'm doing is that I already did an English pilot, and sí. Y ahí vamos a seguir, brother.
So el piloto que estás haciendo en inglés pa cuál este network va a ser?
Todavía no sé. I'm not sure, brother.
No sabe. Lo estás grabando para.
Ya está grabado, ya está hecho.
Para producir, para enseñárselo a los ejecutivos para venderlo.
Exactly. You got it.
Got it.
Exacto.
All right.
So she actually did an episode of Fugitivos de la Ley.
What, was she a fugitive?
Yeah, she played a fugitive.
Do I answer in Spanish or English?
English, whatever you want.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was a fugitive.
Really?
A few times, actually.
Nice.
But I dressed it up so I look like
of
a
course.
Different
Don't
person.
Tell them about your real life. We're talking about the show.
Yeah.
The show.
Yeah, it comes with free bail money.
The show.
Nice.
So I was asking Lou if you didn't gather that... he's putting. How did he get to package this show? He's obviously going to be working on, or he's working on trying to sell the English version of it.
Right.
So that's awesome, man. So and also, so now you have a movie. Now, so you what? How many of these reality shows do you have? Obviously, Operation Repo, Operacion Repo, Fugitivos de la Ley. What else do you have?
I got another. I got a tattoo show called Dame Tinta.
Dame Tinta.
Dame Tinta.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a fucking prostitute show. Dame Tinta.
Some of them might be.
Mira, papi, Dame Tinta, coño.
I did 112 episodes of that, half-hour episodes.
Tinta means ink.
Ink, that's right.
Dame,
give me.
Dame means give me.
Dame Tinta.
So this show was picked up and it's aired somewhere?
Oh, this thing aired all over. Yeah,
really?
This was picked up on, I produced it for Telemundo, aired there. Then I sold the acquisition shows to Mundos, aired on Mundos. And now I'm in syndication with that right now through Central America.
Dude.
So.
Dame Tinta.
Yeah. It's a good show, man. You got to check it. You guys Google it. Dame Tinta.
Dame, D-A-M-E-T-I-N-T-A.
You got it.
Dame Tinta. Space Tinta. Okay.
And you're going to see a lot of people you probably know.
Where can I watch that show? Like, I Google it. What is it on YouTube?
Yeah,
what?
You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it anywhere you want.
I'll check one of those out. I didn't know that was a show that you were doing.
I got another one called Cazadores de la Noticia.
Cazadores y la Noticia?
De la Noticia.
Oh, de la Noticia.
Yeah. News Hunters.
Okay. So, kind of a la Nightcrawler.
Exactly.
Which was a fucking brilliant movie.
This guy
is
a great actor.
If you haven't seen the movie.
Oh, my Lord.
Dude. Let me tell you something. My wife and I are watching this movie. This is my third wife, okay?
Wow.
My real one. The real one.
Damn. Yeah.
The real one. I'm 22 años.
Wow.
The real one, okay? So we're watching this movie in Palm Springs. There's no one in the theater the way I love it. So there's no interruptions. And I'm just fucking engulfed in the big screen.
Yeah.
The scene towards the end where the kid, you realize... that he set this poor guy up in the donut shop. Oh, the Chinese restaurant, right? The Chinese restaurant. Dude, I was like, in my seat, I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
I was ready to leave. It got me so riled up. Yeah. I couldn't believe that. That's how amazing and truthful and brilliant not only was the script, but the performances.
Yeah, I thought it was great, man.
I thought so, too. And I was kind of like...
Yeah, to tie up the loose ends. The guy was going to snitch on him.
Dude.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, but I was shocked that that movie got no love. None. No. I mean, it won an Independent Spirit Award for best screenplay, I believe. But that's it.
Bad timing.
I guess, but I mean, there weren't that... You're probably right. Yeah. But I mean, the movies that came out this past year, none of them were great.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I mean...
Well, you know, I got mixed feelings about all the movies that came out this year, but I'm a movie fan. I'm a movie critic. I watch movies every day.
Yep. Yeah.
On the way over here, I was watching Godzilla again. It's a great movie.
On the way here in your big movie
in my car while I was driving. Yeah, but you guys don't drive
do that
and watch
at home.
Movies.
Luke
yeah.
can do that because he can eat a burger. He's a professional. I'm bad with names. So the movie that
I got a couple movies coming out.
Well, what was the fucking name of the movie that won the? I didn't watch the Academy Awards, by the way.
Oh, Birdman.
Birdman.
Yeah.
So, but I was at the DGA Awards and I was sitting right across from that director.
Uh huh.
Okay, Iñárritu.
Uh huh.
Okay, I saw the movie. I actually saw the movie twice. I don't watch movies twice, but the first time I was kind of like, you know, not 100% on it. So I said, let me watch it again, right? And the movie was good, right? It wasn't the best movie I've ever seen, right?
Yeah.
As far as a fantasy goes and you know, an artist's journey, you know, where an artist has been beat down and is just trying to find himself again and all the poetry that's involved in that, it was interesting. But I didn't think it was...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that great of a movie. I liked it because of how they did it and what they went through.
Yeah, it was interesting how they did it. One shot.
Yeah.
Like one unedited shot, so to speak. Right.
And one of the things, there was a lot of people talking about the director that, you know, it's like he's
Mexican and he shouldn't have won and stuff like that.
And not that necessarily, that his whole cast was predominantly Caucasian. So that's one of the things that's been happening. I don't know if you knew that.
What, that people are talking about that?
Yeah, he's a Latino director, you should have Latino...
You know, let me tell you something. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I have a problem, right, with people always assuming,
right,
that, like, for instance, you're my boy, right? Uh-huh. And, like, you're supposed to give me something.
Right.
Okay? Jerry Seinfeld said something one time that I thought was interesting. I'm not a huge fan of Jerry Seinfeld, but I got mad respect for that dude, okay? Because he's professional, and, you know, you can't argue with that, right? Yeah. But somebody said, you know, you do this new show, what was it, driving in cars with getting coffee with comedians or whatever.
Yeah.
And somebody said, you never have anybody just but white people or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'm a comedian. My show is about comedians. I don't care about white, black, or yellow, or what color.
Right.
As long as you're a funny comedian, that's what you're going to be on my show.
Sure.
And I get people who are funny that I know. I'm not just going to go out and start looking for comedians that are non-white just so that I can, you know, be part of some, you know, ethnic diversity program.
Right.
And you know what?
Sure.
I agree. It's like, well, why is it this dude's responsibility to, like, hire all Latinos and stuff like that?
That's exactly right, and that's the same flack that I get. I get just the opposite. So I understand what he's saying, but this is what they've been talking about. And somebody was telling me, I go, look, man, the guy's a director. He's doing his job. He did a good, you know, who knows? He's not the guy that's telling who he's going to hire. I mean, it's casting directors, executive producers involved.
Well, the script is the script, dude.
Yeah, there's so much different
Steven,
people involved.
Yeah, well, the script is the script. You know, my wife's a director. She directs TV, okay? TV, okay? I'm not talking about, she directs The Good Wife, Law and Order, blah, blah, blah. One-hour episodic drama, right?
Uh-huh.
People go, yo, your wife's a director, man. Don't she put you on shows? First of all, you can't just put somebody in a show.
That's right.
Second of all, if the script is written a certain way, you know, I have a certain accent from New York. Uh-huh. I have a certain look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? TV is neutral. It's boring. It's white for the most part. That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
Regular television, it's neutral, right? When they got a black guy or a black woman, they're neutral, right?
Uh-huh.
They're very passable, friendly. They're not like extreme characters one way or the other.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, it's too much. But you can't just hire someone or give somebody a part. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Networks, for the most part, it doesn't. But sometimes I'm able to do that.
Well, sometimes. But I'm sure you got 50 million people up your ass trying to, you know. Hey,
but I got a good excuse now, man. I go, look, I got 20 family members in line, bro, asking me every day. Something comes up, I'll let you know.
Right.
Because, you know, I got friends that are directors that are on big shows
now.
You know, and it's like, but I won't call them, hey, give me a part.
Of course. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
Exactly.
Right? It's like, you know, like the wife, she directs something. I'm like, listen, your job is not to cast. Your job is to direct the show. There's a casting director.
That's right.
So any of my acting friends or any of your acting friends email you or text them, tell them you're not a casting director. Straight up.
That's right.
Okay? Your job is to bring to life the words on the script. That's it. Casting director, that's their decision, and that's the network's decision. And it's fucked up, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the other debate is there enough diversity in television and film? That's another thing, and that's another question. And the answer is no. There's a new report that even 2015, Hollywood, whatever the fuck that means, still is not representative of the actual demographics of people that are out there. So in other words, diversity, ethnic diversity in America has grown immensely, right? So you got 50 million more ethnicities and ethnic diverse groups in America now than you did 10, 20, 50, right. 30 years ago. But yet Hollywood is still, way back then. But that's not,
Tanya, what do you think about that?
As far as what, the diversity?
Yeah.
And, well, there's a lot of Salvadorians. you can't be more diverse than
on
that.
TV?
She's silly.
Well, I was just talking about down the street. But as far as TV and diversity there, I think for the most part, everyone's trying. But I think at the top level, the top level, top 500, when you look at IMDb, it really is a lot of white people. Really,
people.
Look at the top 100 on IMDb.
Is it fair?
It's all white people.
Is it fair?
No.
Is it representative of the demographic and the various ethnicities? No, mm-mm. It isn't. But here, unfortunately, what's going on is that they're selling,
right?
They're selling a product. What are they selling? They're selling content so that they can get ad dollars to support the content, right? So ad dollars, when you have ads, you need to target a specific
demographic.
When you have ethnically ambiguous people, I shouldn't say ethnically ambiguous because that's neutral, but you have ethnic, like, for instance, I may look Italian or whatever, right? You have more indigenous features, right? But I wouldn't be able to guess that you were Colombian in a million fucking years, right? There's Colombian that are white with blonde hair. You know, there's Puerto Ricans that are white, Dominicans. It's very difficult to capsulate, especially Latin American culture.
People. So what do I look like?
Well,
Mexican?
I don't know what to say what you look like. I don't know what to say with Sheila. I just said
indigenous.
You have
indigenous. He just called me an India.
No. I said you have indigenous features. You do.
Yeah.
Tú tienes fitura de India. I mean,
I'm actually Chinese Colombian and Black Colombian.
Well, there you go. Chinese and Black Colombian. Tell that to a casting director. Yeah. They'll be like, okay, next.
They'll be like, she's Mexican.
Well, yeah, you're better off saying you're Mexican.
Yeah.
So Chinese.
My mom is Chinese Colombian. My dad's Black Colombian.
There you go. Chino
Colombiano.
But we
don't really talk about that last part.
Chino Colombiano.
Yeah, Chino Colombiano.
Chino Colombiana, which is interesting. So the Chinese immigrated to different countries to avoid some communist shit that was going on in their country at a certain time.
What happened was that the Chinese wanted to come to California for the gold rush. So there was a bunch of Peruvians up there, and they were like, "Hey, Luis Estrada told me this story, Lou." Actually, is how it happened. And what they paid these Peruvians money to be taken to California, but instead the Peruvians gypped them and dropped them off in Peru. So all these Chinese people were in Peru, and then from there they spread it. If you notice, there's a lot of Chinese-based food in Peru. That's why the food is like that.
Yes. Well, I mean, in Cuba, too. There's a whole fucking barrio chino.
Yeah.
So, but it's different. That's an interesting thing. I didn't know that. You know, that's interesting. Oh, te voy a joder el coño, coño. Te voy a coger todo. You ever seen Chinese dude speak Spanish? It's a fucking trip.
No,
¿Qué lo que tú quieres? ¿Qué lo que tú quieres comer? ¿Qué lo que tú quieres comer? Oye, pero no me jodas nada. No me jodas nada, coño. ¿Qué lo que tú quieres comer? ¿Salsa soy sauce?
I'm going to have to write that character into one of my scripts, man.
That is hysterical.
In New York, they got Chinese-Cuban restaurants, the best.
I got a script that we're working on right now. It's called Hooked on Lou, and it's a comedy script. Uh-huh. It's a scripted series.
Apart from me, is that what you're trying to say?
Dude, if you can do that accent,
I can do whatever.
I could do whatever you want, bro.
Yeah.
But actually, You know, I just executive produced our second film, my wife and I, second film. We have a page. For those of you out there that don't know, it's called Silver Skies, the movie. It's about an over 55 apartment complex that, you know, obviously what's going on. It gets bought out and everyone's got to leave. We got George Hamilton, Barbara Bain, Valerie Perrine. You know, we got some old school actors.
Yeah.
And you know, I executive produced that. We did it, so I'm behind the scenes as well, producing stuff, which goes to a father's journey.
Yeah,
tell me about that.
Father's Journey is it's based on a true story. Yeah. Yeah, it's a film that we got coming out for Father's Day. The lead on it, David Fernandez Jr. Mm-hmm. He's also the director, and yeah, guys, come up with a great idea, great movie. Joey Medina's in it. Mm-hmm. Myra Liao's in it, and a bunch of other great actors. Mm-hmm. And they approached me, you know, to come aboard.
That's pretty good. You put Joey Medina in a bunch of great actors.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, Joey's awesome, dude. Joey's
good. I
know.
I got Joey a fucking part in his first horror film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And, he gets his cock cut off.
Ouch.
Yeah. Oh, you got to send me that footage.
It's called On Bloody Sunday. I got to look for it.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. This girl just finished kissing Joey Medina the other day for something.
Me and Joey did a scene for the Cringe Chronicles. We played a couple in a waiting room.
The Cringe? You know? What is that?
Cringe Chronicles. Imagine, what did I play? A Dominican or a Puerto Rican girl, like in the waiting room?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I know that he's been cheating on me. Mm-hmm. So, you know how.
I gotta show you secreto so you can get the shit down. I have it over here.
The father's journey again is based on a true story, and it's actually David's family member that went through this. Okay. That he actually got killed, and it was
his
interesting.
Father got killed?
No, it was his cousin.
Uh-huh.
So
what's the story? What's the synopsis?
So it basically what it is, it's just a road trip movie.
Okay.
And if you like The Sixth Sense, you like that twist, you're going to love this movie. And that's all I really want to say till they go out there and they see it. But I was happy to be part of it, man. I came in as executive producer, second unit director, and I acted. Tanya has a role in there as well. So it was
second unit director and you're executive producer. And so who produced it and who had the script and all that stuff? People that you know, friends and stuff like that?
Yeah, David Fernandez. David brought it to you and said,
listen, I got the script. I'm you're interested in doing this, then you know.
Exactly.
Because I have a script that I think you might be interested in also. Uh-huh. And when I saw that, I was like, maybe I should. It's called Como Un Hombre.
Como Un Hombre.
Como Un Hombre, yes.
Okay. Is that about cannibals?
No, it's a porno. And we're trying to get Mark Anthony to play the father.
Oh, that'd be great, man.
Yeah, so I have access to Mark Anthony. So we just have to have that, try to figure that out. Como un hombre. It's a Mexican kid, his father's a musician, and, you know, broken home, blah, blah. Interesting story.
We got a few other movies, too, that I've executive produced coming out. We're in post-production. I got one called Let It Bleed, which is it's an action kind of like thriller killings and stuff like that. And then we have...
El Vidente.
We have El Vidente. It's about a psychic.
Oh, El Vidente.
El Vidente.
Vidente is a psychic.
It's a psychic. Yeah, that's a good one. We're in post-production on that one.
So that's like a horror or no?
It's kind of suspense.
It's a horror drama suspense, but the most interesting part of it is that the movie was shot in both English and Spanish with a bilingual cast.
Nice.
Every scene, one right after the other.
Nice.
So you have two movies.
It was a test. What I wanted to do is that I wanted to do two in one, like they call it a twofer, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to. So what I did
one
is that...
One and two and two and one.
Yeah, so we basically had a script in Spanish. So if you can read this script in Spanish and it worked, I know you could do it in English.
Right.
So that's what we did. And it was not easy.
Right.
So, but we pulled it off.
But if you understand it in Spanish, you could always translate it, put it in your own words in English, yeah?
Exactly like that? Right.
Got it.
And coming from Spanglish world, I wanted to try that. And that's what I did. So we got, you know, we did a Spanish one that we're editing and an English one.
Got it.
Same result at the end.
Got it. So tell me about Repo Radio. We got a minute or
Well, you know, we started Repo Radio just over 2 years ago. Tanya's my co-host, Marina, Randy is the engineer, and Fernando with sports. And it's just something that came together, you know.
So you did, it was a podcast initially, you told me.
Yeah, Operation Podcast. And then we did the radio show. We're up in the high desert. We're at Palmdale, Lancaster, Victorville, all the way to Vegas, and east all the way to Needles.
So what do you mean? You record this at a radio station up in Palmdale?
No, we actually at our studio in Sylmar.
Okay.
And we send it over and they input it. It's pre-recorded.
Got it.
We do two shows. We do a morning show from 6 to 9 every Thursday, and then we do a night show from 6 to 8. We prelude into the Art LeBeau show. So we promote Art LeBeau, and we do all the Art LeBeau concerts. So we're at all the concerts. So it's been a big
and
show.
And Art LeBeau's, 92.3 or whatever? It turned into an all-hip-hop station.
Yeah, you only could hear him now through our station, through either ReaperRadio.com or 94.3 The Duck.
Wow.
So we're his flagship right now until we find another L.A. station.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, we don't have enough hip-hop stations, so we got to get another fucking...
Yeah, we don't have enough.
Hey, yo.
It's awful.
Yeah. We ain't got no more motherfucking shit, and I'm saying word.
Because I ain't fucking with you.
So your website is...
Yeah, it's EGAProductions.com or Reaper
EGA?
Radio. Yeah, EGA.
EGA.
Productions.
Which, by the way, EGA, I just saw you, Operacion Buen Credito. Is that a commercial that you have?
Yeah, that's something that I'm doing. It's a friend of mine, Claudia, from GTScredit.com.
GTScredit.com?
She repairs credit, bro.
Okay.
And it's one of the things that I've been doing with her is getting all these people that don't have credit, that get shammed.
So you're helping them.
Yeah, I'm helping
them. It's not a scam.
Exactly.
No. All right, well then.
And it works, bro.
It works. Okay. It works. Yeah, it really works.
Well, GTScredit.com. We'll give them a free plug. You know what I mean? www.gtscredit.com. Operación Buen Crédito. Mira, si ustedes jodieron y fastidiaron el crédito de ustedes, te cogieron el carro, te comieron la esposa, explotaron la casa, necesitas el crédito que te lo reparen, llame a 1-800-852-3696. Operación Buen Crédito.
Nice.
That was sweet, man. That was like impromptu.
So, yeah. What's your regular website? I'm sorry, because I just went off crazy.
You guys can hit me up at ReaperRadio.com.
ReaperRadio.com. R-E-P-O, ReaperRadio.com.
Yep.
And you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, at Lou Pizarro.
At Lou Pizarro.
And at Tania Estrada 334. Same for Twitter and Instagram for the both
so
of us.
So Facebook is at, is that what you guys say? At?
Well, the Twitter, you know, Tania Estrada 334, Lou Pizarro.
All my media, everything's at Lou Pizarro.
And Lou Pizarro is a friend, is my friend on Facebook. So, you know, Nestorius, Facebook.com/Nestorius. Huh. Go to Nestorius Public Radio, like the motherfucking page. Mm-hmm. Go to iTunes and make sure that you subscribe to the channel, to the Nestorius Public Radio podcast. We got a free podcast every motherfucking day. We're polishing your motherfucking earwaxed ear holes. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you can get higher knowledge and you don't have to repair your credit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But for those of you that need to repair your credit, you know what's up. Uh-huh. All right, so that's it. That's it. We're gonna blast out. You know what I mean?
Shit, so y'all gotta encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta like...